ahead and get started. My name is Kate Nelson, and I am part of the Environmental Sustainability Committee as part of the NDSU Staff Senate. And this is our first of three panel events that are going to be happening this academic year. Today's topic is talking about recyclable items. What is recyclable, what is not, how to recycle effectively, and we have a fabulous panel here that will introduce themselves and give us more information about that topic. So I think we have a few other committee members in the room. So maybe stand up if you're a committee member through the Staff Senate. I know Cece's here, Kay, Elizabeth. Anyone else that I'm missing? Okay, so we are all members of the Staff Senate and part of this committee, but anybody can join our committee meetings. If you're interested in helping us come up with more events like this or establish other partnerships and collaborations to do things like the Bag Free Month, you can come to our meetings. Let's jump into the panel. So I will have our panel introduce themselves to everybody and talk a little bit about what they do, what their role is on campus, and how it relates to recycling and sustainability. So Pete, you want to start off?
Good morning. My name is Pete Zimmerman. I'm the Associate Director for Operations at Facilities Management. So obviously we have a fairly large role as, for lack of a better term, the gatekeepers of recycling on campus. We have several partners, including the City of Fargo, NCODA, Residence Life. But our primary function as it pertains to recycling is we usually place, in most cases, the bins or the recycling opportunities in buildings on campus, as well as it's our staff that picks up those recyclables and takes them to a central location so NCODA can pick them up or the City of Fargo. As it pertains primarily to cardboard. So that's our role on the recycling side of things. We try and expand and have expanded the recycling opportunities in different buildings on campus each year. Our biggest challenge, obviously, is the same one all of you face in this room, and that's budget. The recycling containers themselves are extremely expensive, so they meet the requirements of fire code and you know, it's a challenge for us, and you know, typically each spring we'll take a look at our budget and see what opportunities we can provide to the campus. This year we provided new containers in music, Lofts Guard, the engineering complex, and we added some in Menard. You know, we're out there, we're trying to provide opportunities for the campus, but there's a cost associated with recycling, and I think most people don't understand that it's not revenue neutral. It costs facilities management. Our net cost is between $25,000 and $28,000 a year to provide recycling to the campus. And it's a complex formula with NCODA. They sell the recyclables that we generate and we get a credit based on our bill. So obviously facilities management doesn't end with recycling. We're involved in several different sustainability efforts on campus, primarily energy. Our budget for NDSU is about $7 million a year for utilities. You know, we can move the needle fairly quickly from a cost perspective or a cost savings perspective if we can have some sustainability efforts that are meaningful. Probably the last great one that we had was at the heating plant, and I won't get too technical, but we have obviously very large boilers that generate steam there, and those need to be cooled. So we were essentially dumping over 3 million gallons of water a year down the drain because we weren't capturing that cooling water. We made an investment, we capture all that cooling water and we run it through. So, you know, we do things like that. We focus on building envelopes and how do we save energy? How do we save electricity? We have gone to centralized controls for irrigation, centralized controls for a lot of building systems. They used to run all night. We don't need buildings to be 71 or 72 degrees at 2 in the morning when nobody's occupying them. So we're involved in a lot of different things on the campus, and recycling is one of those components.
My name is Mariah Erickson. I'm the new president for the Environmental Sustainability Club. So basically our main goal is to just get students interested in wanting to impact our campus and whatnot. And sometimes it's a little difficult because we're all busy doing other things and lots of interests and whatnot, but we've been pretty successful recently. Last year we were able to do recycling at the tailgating because as of right now, there are no bins there, so we took it upon ourselves to get the bins, and then we got a group together and we sorted through the recyclables, and then we took pictures and weighed it, trying to send a message that we should be recycling at the Fargo Dome and whatnot. And we've done other things like waste audit, where we go through the garbage in the dorms and other places on campus and sort through it and weigh it. And obviously Earth Week we're very involved with, World Water Day, stuff like that. Oh, and last year, yeah, we were able to fundraise enough money to plant a tree on campus. So that's over by the Quentin Burdick building, and that was really exciting for us because obviously it's like a staple of our club, so that was exciting.
Hello, I'm Jen Kassir, and I work in Residence Life. And I'll just kind of cover some of the things that we do in Residence Life. My role in sustainability is just working more on the educational approach with our students that live in the residence halls and our apartments. But some of the initiatives that we do on a yearly basis, during opening week, we collect cardboard. And we actually got our final numbers today, and we collected about 12,000 pounds of cardboard from Wednesday of move-in until Monday morning. And that's fantastic. That's increased in almost about 10,000 pounds in the last 3 years, 4 years. So really excited about that. We also do a program at the end of the year called Donate, Don't Dispose, in which we have yellow trucks around campus where students can drop things that they no longer want to take home. And just finished our fourth year with that. And so this past year we collected 3,600 pounds of items that won't go to the landfill, and those were taken to the Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. We also collected food for our second year. And collected 820 pounds that went to the emergency food bank. So we continue to, with those two main programs, try to reduce what's going to the landfill at the beginning of our year and at the end of our year. We also do a waste audit, as Mariah talked about, in collaboration with the club, in which we track how much recycling and is in recycling that we pull out of, that students can recycle from, and then look at the trash to see how much could go to the recycling versus it being in the trash and whatnot. And so our numbers continue to look good in that area as well. We also do just regular recycling in our halls every day. Students currently can recycle aluminum, plastic, and paper. And we have sort containers in the halls where they can drop that. They're primarily in our trash recycling rooms, which are located pretty much on each floor or close to that. Our staff then takes all of that material every other week or so directly to Mankota. So that's how we run our program currently. We've had conversations here in the last several weeks about wanting to do the single sort, like you're seeing here in the Union and across campus. We are in conversations with Mankota and a little bit within facilities to figure out what that next step would be. As you heard Pete say, there is a financial contribution that goes with that. So we have to make sure that within our budget that we're planning for that. So whether that's something that would happen this spring for our students or would be something into next fall, we hope that we can continue to enhance the recycling portions within our residence halls and apartments. Also, our residence hall association, which I serve as the advisor for, does two different programs as well. They do what's called Waste Busters, which is a collaboration with NDSU Dining to track the food and liquid waste in the dining centers. We've done this program now for 4 years and continue to see great success with this. I can share numbers if you're interested. We continue to have students be able to reduce what they're taking. We clearly don't have trays that they would fill up, but we still see that they get something that maybe they didn't want, and then it just goes into the dish return, and ultimately it's going to waste. And so how do we reduce that? In the fall, we do a blind tracking where students don't know that we're tracking to kind of get that base number. And then the three other times that we track during the year, the students are actually standing out in front of the dish return, scraping off plates. And that just brings a visible piece to what they're doing. And we see that students don't want to turn in a plate with food on it or will drink their drink really quickly before they turn it in, when they know that they're being more conscious about thinking through that. And they also track the energy numbers in most of our residence halls. We do have meters set where we can track that on a manual basis. And so we do have signage in the halls in which RHA body members help to keep that up to date with the information that we have. So those are some of the programs that we do in Residence Life and with RHA. If you have questions, I will take those at the end.
Hi, I'm Jen Pickett with the City of Fargo. I am the recycling coordinator. So I work at the Solid Waste Department. So I oversee all the recycling that happens in Fargo, whether it's through residences, all the Fargo public schools now have recycling available. And we have about 250 businesses that do recycling. So we have quite a variety of collection going on. Within the last year, we implemented all-in-one recycling. So we collect garbage from 26,000 residential homes each week in Fargo. And of those, about 23,000 are participating in the new recycling program. When residents had to separate their recycling, we had about a 60% participation rate, and now we're up right around 90. So very pleased with those results. The tonnages of recycling that we're collecting used to be about 1,200 tons a year, and now we're doing about 4,000. That is great numbers, and that's only 1 year's worth of data, so hopefully they continue to expand. That was kind of the first phase of that program. The second phase was to introduce the all-in-one recycling to multifamily dwellings, condo associations, anything that was four units or more. And there's a few more hurdles to implement a program. In an apartment building, like space is the first problem, is that nobody wants to give up a parking spot to accommodate a recycling bin. Kind of work through some of those things. We have a few bigger buildings, the U32 apartments, the Stop and Go apartments, the T-Lofts, you guys might be familiar with, all have recycling now, so very excited about that. They're doing very well. We just need to work on breaking the boxes down a little bit better. And they need more bins. They're filling them up faster than we can get them collected, so that's exciting. Fargo Public Schools this year has all-in-one recycling. That's fairly new. Not all of the buildings have it because not all of the buildings, I believe, have sprinkler systems. So kind of a few more hurdles that I had no idea were coming. We do all of the single stream recycling. We also have 27 recycling drop sites in Fargo. I don't know if anybody's familiar with those, but that's just a place where residents can haul their extra recyclables or whatever if they don't participate in the program. And then they just have to separate everything at those drop sites. And that's not going to change. A lot of people ask that if we'll do the all-in-one at the drop sites. And the answer is no, because of contamination. And that's a little bit of a problem with our curbside program. I don't know if you guys saw me in the news last week. So that's a little bit of a problem. One of our drivers texted me a picture this morning of a fish tank and some clothes that are in a residential recycling bin. So he left that at the curb, and then I will get hold of them and let them know that that's garbage, not recycling. So there's lots of challenges, especially with the plastics. We get so many things that aren't acceptable. And like you guys, everything that we collect also goes to Minn Kota Recycling. Are you ever wondering what we're talking about? Just stop by there at any time, and you can see all the recycling that's being dropped off by City Fargo, City of Moorhead, by you guys. They have lots of customers, and there's some pretty entertaining things in the recycling sometimes. Just to back up a second, we totally appreciate everything that you guys do on campus to reduce the amount of garbage that you haul out to the landfill. If you know or not, that we're running out of space in the landfill fairly fast. We have maybe 3 years left in the current landfill. We're working on a project with the state of North Dakota to reclaim the old landfill, the original landfill in Fargo. So a really interesting, what we think is interesting, it's probably boring to most people, but essentially they're recovering the old garbage that's been buried since 1950. And then putting a plastic liner down in that cell is what it's called, and then put that old garbage back in, put new garbage, and then it has another layer of filtering material, and then we can use that when we run out of space where we are. So short version of what's going on at the landfill. But anything we can do to save some space over there is awesome. Just a note on what Mariah said about recycling at tailgating. That has actually recently changed as of last week. We worked with Minn Kota and Team Makers. We painted a big container yellow, bison colors, and it's now available for plastic bottle and can recycling. Minn Kota bought the plastic bags, and Team Makers handed those out as everybody came into tailgating. So the clear bag is for plastic and cans, the black bags are for garbage, and then the Fargo Dome staff was willing to pick up that recycling and just toss that into the container that we dropped off. So it's only been one football game, but we'll see how it goes. It's kind of a trail run and took a long time to get to this point, so gotta keep the momentum going at tailgating, so we're excited about that too. Kate brought some samples of recyclables over at the table, so I'm gonna head over there and kind of talk about the acceptable and unacceptable items. We can start with this corrugated cardboard. This is excellent, very recyclable. All you have to do is make sure it's flat when you put it into the bin, and then we're good to go. A common misconception is that egg cartons can go into recycling, and unfortunately they can't, especially the styrofoam kind. But even the cardboard kind, that cardboard is held together with massive amounts of glue. And they essentially put this cardboard in a big pot of hot water and mulch it down into a pulp. So when there's glue or wax on these boxes, that floats up to the top and essentially just clogs the machines that get used.
What about tape that is holding, you know, the bottom of a box together, so you flatten it but there's still tape mm-hmm. on it? Does that cause a problem?
Yes. If you can get the tape off, that is great. Or if you get a box that has that that plastic envelope that's holding the invoice or whatever, you know, anything you can do to get that cardboard clean is the best. If it's too contaminated, chances are it might get pulled out and thrown into the garbage. So
what about staples?
Like staples in paper or whatever?
Cardboard boxes are stapled together.
Oh, the big staples? Definitely those have to come out, but and some of those can come out, you know, at the paper mill, but I know that would be a pain to tear those out because they're usually pretty heavy duty. Anything like that should technically come off. Any other questions on cardboard? Yeah.
Pizza boxes.
Oh, good one. This is kind of a rule of thumb, I guess. There is no black and white answer. If you can see where your pizza was in the box, it's garbage. Okay, if it's not that bad and there's just a little bit of grease, you can put it in the recycling bin. We get asked that one a lot. Thank you for reminding me. Next thing up here is newspapers. No problem at all with newspapers, as well as the glossy inserts or the coupons that might come, like in the Sunday paper. Those can all go into recycling. Not really anything special that we have to do with that. Same for magazines and softcover books, like a thinner phone book without the plastic spiral thing on the end. Those can go into the recycling bin now too. So can junk mail and envelopes like this. Usually I get more junk than real mail. I just let the kids bring it to the bin. I think it's fun. So that can all go into the all-in-one recycling bins. And then magazines, you don't really have to do anything with those. If you have the Granger catalog at your desk that's this big, that can't go into recycling. That binding on there is too much to deal with. If you have a home and garden magazine, that's fine. Yeah?
Talking about junk mail, do you need to peel the plastic see-through part off of a paper envelope, or can it all go?
It can go in just like all those great credit card offers you get. Toss it in there. Rip it in half, maybe. Good question.
Post-it notes?
Post-it notes and office paper, kind of all along the same lines. They can all go into the recycling bins. Even bigger size paper, if you have like blueprints for something or architect drawings or whatever, might be, you know, 2x3, if that can go into the bin too.
Mm-hmm. And just regular paper staples can go in?
Those are fine, yes.
Mm-hmm. Kleenex boxes?
Kleenex box, like an envelope box, almost any kind of cardboard. The rule with that is if it has been in the freezer, like from popsicles or whatever, that box has a coat of wax on it. They don't want that for that same reason down the line.
Going mixed paper, corrugated cardboard.
Into the cardboard. All kinds of cardboard can go in with the corrugated. I like these cereal boxes. It's great, it can just get flattened and tossed right in there. This one is interesting. It has a metal handle, and it once had food in it. Anybody want to take a guess what you do with this?
Garbage,
yes. Again, it has that wax coating on it. And this is really getting technical. I mean, if it makes it into the recycle bin, it's not the end of the world, but in a perfect world, they don't want this. There's like plastic bottles now that have a metal top on them. Have you seen that? You open it like a pop can. That is incredibly difficult for the end market to separate that aluminum top off of the plastic bottle. It gets thrown into the garbage. Don't buy those at the gas station.
Yeah. If you're recycling a regular plastic bottle, should the label come off of it?
Not necessarily. Nope, it's okay. And lids. Also another question we get a lot, like this milk container. You'd want to just make sure it's empty and then put the lid back on it and toss it into the recycling bin. What they don't want is for you to save up these lids for 3 years and then get sick of them in the garage and toss them into your recycling bin. So then you have all these loose lids, and then the loose lids get put into the bin, into the truck, dumped on the floor, made into a bale that weighs 2,000 pounds, loaded onto another truck. So imagine they're not staying in the bale very good by now, being handled by forklifts and whatever. And then those bales get broke open, the material's all over the place, and now they're going up a conveyor, and the lids are just flying everywhere off at the sorting facility. So either leave the lid on or put it into the garbage. Yes?
How about like milk cartons, juice cartons that are cardboardy, mm-hmm. but now they have those plastic,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay to all go in?
Yep, the same with like a broth container that comes in that cardboard type of a box. There's adult beverages that come in those boxes you can put into the recycling now. Yeah, and the milk, juice boxes, all of that can go in. This is maybe something that's been in the news lately. Yeah.
I'm thinking the cardboard containers that juice comes in usually have that waxy feeling. And then you were saying earlier that my freezer box can't because it has wax.
Mm-hmm. That's where it just gets very technical.
So what about the box my smart one came in?
I would say no. We get the guidelines from Minn Kota. They set the standard, I guess, by what type of markets they have buying the material. And those markets change a lot. And it's too hard to let the public know that, you know, this week we're taking number 4 plastic, but next week we might not be. We take numbers 1 through 7 and all of the milk cartons and juice boxes and whatever. And then when they get to the facility, they figure out what is happening with it. But the freezer boxes, definitely no. Sorry, it's confusing. I get confused too. Okay, this plastic cup and the straws. The straws are definitely not recyclable. They are plastic, but they are not the right kind of plastic. The cup is fine as long as it's clean, like this one is. But the lid that might come on this, they don't want. The same goes for this coffee cup. The cardboard sleeve on the outside might be okay, but the lid, definitely not recyclable. And the question that we get is, well, it has a recycling symbol on it and a number. And all that tells us is what type of material that plastic is made from. So it kind of confuses people in that you see that triangle and you think, oh, it's recyclable. But it's really just telling you if it's a plant-based plastic or another kind of plastic. There's lots of varieties out there. The aluminum cans up here, we don't have to do anything with those. Those can just go right into the recycling bin. This to-go container has a recycling symbol, a number 6. And that is just telling us that it's a styrofoam type of material, and right now styrofoam is not acceptable in any recycling program in Fargo or Moorhead. So this would unfortunately have to go into the garbage. There are restaurants in town though that are going to compostable to-go containers, so those at least break down in the landfill, or the styrofoam is going to take a lot longer. I don't even know if it really ever goes away. Same with these plastic bags. They are great, but they're also a big problem. Plastic bags can be recycled, just not in any curbside recycling program that we have going on in Fargo or Moorhead. The best thing to do with these is to take it back to the grocery store. Every grocery store in Fargo, including the Walmarts, Targets, Kohl's, Best Buy, maybe Lowe's, I think, have containers in their entryways to recycle this type of plastic bag. It's usually done through a company called Trex, and then they end up making recycling bins or fences or that composite lumber that you can build a deck out of. Otherwise, they make a lot of park benches out of this material. At one of our drop sites, the whole fence is made from recycled milk jugs and plastic bags like this. So what happens when you put this in your recycling bin, if it's a windy day, then our truck comes by, picks up your can, it's going up, the lid's opening, it's 13 feet in the air, the wind grabs it, and the bag flies into a tree at the park somewhere is one potential problem. If it makes its way all the way to Minneapolis through that bale of recycling, when that material is going up the conveyor, the first thing that it hits is a huge spinning wheel to knock off different types of plastic into different bins below. And all these plastic bags kind of turn into shreds and they get wrapped around that wheel. So twice a day, they have to shut the entire facility down, and guys go in there with the box cutters and spend like an hour cutting these bags off of the machines. Just a short version of why they can't go into your recycling bin. Very recyclable, just have to take them back to where you got them. There's a few other type of plastic bags up here. This is maybe like film from a dress shirt or something, or a toy, or when you're going back to the Hornbacher store, you can take this bag of baby carrots or bread bags with you. This shirt or toy bag or whatever, it would be fine. This cereal bag or a bag that your grapes came in or any other kind of vegetables is not something that they're looking for in those bins.
What do you do with those bags? You take them back to the store and bring them in a bag recycling bin, or not in the... Not in the curbside,
but they can go back to the plastic bag recycling at all the local grocery stores.
What about the bags that have number 4 on them?
That again is just telling us what the bag is made out of. We don't want any type of bags in our recycling bins, whether it's at your home or the drop site. Besides having to be cut off of the machines, all that material goes through what they call sort cabins. So they pick up the plastics and they go to this side of the building, and then there's guys that work at these conveyors that are coming by at high rates of speed. It's fun to watch. I don't know how they keep up. They're like juggling, pulling stuff off the conveyor that doesn't belong. So somebody fills a garbage bag full of plastic bottles and they toss it in there and it makes its way down there. Somebody has to grab that and rip it open so that they can recover the plastic bottles. The plastic bag is going to end up in the garbage. Another example of why not to put plastic bags into the recycling bins. Another example here is this Balance Breaks has looks like almonds, cheese, and cranberries in it. This part is garbage. This part you can put into the recycling bin. Same would be with a yogurt container. That top part, the little aluminum thing, or aluminum foil, is garbage. The bottom part of the yogurt container can go into the bin. You'll maybe give it a quick little rinse out if you want to. Same with this peanut butter container. Somebody spent a little bit of time cleaning this one, so thank you, whoever did that. This is the how bad do you want to recycle? How much work you want to put in to clean this peanut butter thing out? Definitely helps if it is clean like this, because again, it just makes more work down the road.
Laundry detergent.
Perfect.
That's it. Like, even though you could rinse it for days and it probably still has suds in it.
Right. Yep. That's okay. Leave it in there. Yeah.
Can you tell us what Minn Kota sorts and what Fargo sends out to be sorted?
Minn Kota doesn't really sort anything. They don't have enough space or the manpower to sort anything. So everything that we pick up off the curb from our residents, and we have a few businesses that do the all-in-one, and everything that you guys do on campus, that all gets baled up and sent to Shakopee. And that's where it's sorted at. We will bring them a truckload of plastic this afternoon that we collect from a few businesses and our recycling drop sites. They'd have the capability to sort through that and pull out the big stuff Like the swimming pools and the Rubbermaid totes and the shower curtains before it gets baled and sent off. But as far as like the getting down to the nitpicky stuff, they don't have time or people or space up in Cota to do that.
I've heard that colors to make plastic non-recyclable is, does it matter the color of the plastic?
Not that I'm aware of. Like a green Mountain Dew bottle or a red Tide laundry soap thing or a clear milk jug or a white milk jug or water bottle. That's okay.
I've also heard that layers of, since like lids can be made out of different layers of different types of plastic, that you shouldn't recycle those, but you're saying we could recycle the lid, just put them back on top of the container?
Leave them on the container, yeah.
Back to the peanut butter, like the condiments and things, so like we should rinse them out, and if they don't get rinsed out, are you going to not want them, or?
If you don't rinse out a peanut butter container. I mean, I don't know this for 100%, but I would guess that it gets kicked out.
Yeah, or some of the condiments that are really hard to get into and would take a lot of time to
Right. Like a ketchup bottle, pretty easy to rinse out. It's just, I guess, personal preference. How much time do you have in the day to wash out peanut butter containers?
Another one was like the sandwich meat containers. There's lots of food in them, but
it's like a Tupperware type of a thing. What I do is sometimes they have that piece of cardboard on the top with little glue dots that, you know, says Hillshire Farms or whatever. Tear that off, and then you could put the bin in, put the container into recycling.
What happens to glass that gets recycled? Does Minn Kota do that too?
Minn Kota takes glass. The glass that is collected from all of our drop sites goes to Glass Advantage in West Fargo, it's out by the fairgrounds. And they make it into a sandblast medium, or they make it into glass for landscaping. The newspapers that come from our drop sites go to Pactiv and Moorhead, and they get made into egg cartons, or the layer in between the apples.
What about a candle, a glass candle that's almost burned out, but it's got a layer of wax left on the bottom?
I would say to put that into the garbage. Glass bottles and jars, like a pickle jar or a glass bottle of pop, if anybody ever drinks those anymore. That's kind of what they're after, not light bulbs or mirrors or Pyrex dishes or coffee cups or those kind of things we see.
So it's like a pickle jar, some sort of material. Would you like keep them separate, or would you screw the lid back on?
Glass recycling is a whole different thing. I've been out there a couple times and just watched a little bit of what's going on, but if it was a metal lid, they have a magnet there that, you know, is able to remove that type of stuff. And then as far as labels go, the glass gets heated up and broke down, so all that plastic labels, it gets burnt off.
Let's say you have spaghetti sauce, don't use
right. No.
Soup can. Take that label off?
You can, but it's not necessary.
Can you put the label in the paper?
You could. Do you have a question in the back?
What about that piece of Tupperware that my boyfriend accidentally fried?
No.
Like hard plastic, like one of these when it's dead.
Is that like a reusable water bottle?
Yes. It has a 7 on it.
I'm guessing no.
Can you say real quick about what actually is downcycled and what can actually be recycled into the same things?
Oh, sure. Corrugated cardboard, like this brown cardboard, is made into more cardboard. Office paper, a lot of times, is made into like tissue paper, Kleenex, toilet paper, things like that. Plastic bottles can get recycled into quite a variety of things, like fences and the deck material. They can get made into carpet. A lot of our plastic goes to Georgia, and it's made into carpet.
So to me, that sounds like downcycling, and it's not really recycling, and I would try and avoid that stuff just because it's going to end up in the landfill just going to be years later instead of next week.
Paper products are a lot easier to turn into paper products again. The same with aluminum and glass. They stay, you know, they get recycled into more glass and more aluminum. Some of the plastics is just not possible. There's so many different kinds out there.
I have a question actually for Pete, I think would be good to answer this. The white box at the end of the table that we have in some of the offices around campus, can anyone get those? I know that we have some in our offices, but not everyone does. And how do you get them?
You can send me an email, you can send Mark Hers an email, you can talk to your custodian.
And there, and everything in those boxes, is it mostly paper? Like, and does that get collected the same way that
it is? Well, they started out for office pack. Paper primarily, but obviously with single stream, I would assume if you wanted to put a pop bottle in there, the the custodian's not going to leave it by the carrier.
Because it all goes in one spot.
That's just fine, guys.
It's easier.
Yeah.
I also have a question for Pete. On the corner by Series Hall outside, that can, I heard, used to be divided up into garbage and recycle. And somebody just checked this morning and it's all one can. Can that be changed back?
Sure. We have an individual that takes care of our trash here. That empties dumpsters in the morning and then goes around and gets the recycling and trash out of the outdoor cans. We have about 80 of them, the concrete ones on campus. So there's times when somebody may say, well, there's more trash coming out of here than there is recyclable, so they'll make that change. But if you run into that or you see that, again, just drop us a quick line. And we have quite a few of those split liners available out in our storage areas.
Well, I have a question for the Sustainability Committee. Are you guys doing anything right now, any kind of initiatives to help us become less dependent on plastic? I mean, there's a lot of plastic bottles for sale. They're just everywhere, and yes, they can be recycled, but just like he was saying, they really can't be recycled forever. Yeah. It's better to use materials that we can recycle. What is the Sustainability Committee trying to do about that?
Yes, and you have an opportunity to participate. If you'd like to help us write a grant, we're going to apply for one of the impact grants through the foundation for reducing plastic use on campus broadly. I guess we haven't really decided how we're going to do that yet.
So Emily will now tell you about the university she's at.
Visiting a college in Colorado, where I was told you will not find a bottle of water that is sold on campus. And, you know, I inquired why, and they said because we take it very seriously, the number of empty bottles that they find on campus, and ultimately, you know, facilities ends up having to spend money to take care of those bottles, et cetera, and so forth. So I thought, wow, isn't that impressive? And I realize that's a very advanced kind of situation.
Thank you for that. Yeah, we've done a little bit of research on what other campuses are doing and initiatives, and it's hopefully going to drive and develop some programming that we're trying that we'll work to push through. And so we've had some conversation with Dining Services about things we can do. The grant would really be helpful to make something more a larger impact, and so that is something we're working on. But as I said before, anyone with ideas or thoughts or things that they would like to help us with, join us.
When you were just talking about dining services, I just worked with the VA hospital in Fargo, and they have a new green management coordinator, and they had like paper recycling here and plastic recycling here and aluminum over here, but they didn't have room for each kind of recycling in each location, so they used their existing containers and relabeled the lids. So now they're doing all-in-one recycling everywhere, and their tonnage has gone up like by 60% in just 6 months. So I did like a follow-up a few weeks ago, and we went to Dining Services and the pharmacy and all these different departments, and they had set aside materials they were wondering if could be recycled or not. So then we visited each one and told them yes, no, you know, what to do with this, rinse it out, toss it, whatever. So that would be something that Mary or I or both of us, you know, would be able to come over and help with here too. You know, we walked through just offices, and they're throwing away all kinds of paper and like the envelopes box and whatever, just because they didn't know. Just a thought.
And that's our biggest challenge from a facility standpoint, is strictly education. You know, you provide people opportunities, but if they don't know for sure what they're supposed to throw away and what they're supposed to recycle, it's a challenge. And also, you know, Jen's heard me say this before, it takes initiative. Does it mean you walk 40 more feet to recycle a pop bottle or an aluminum can? You have to want to do that. We can provide, you know, opportunities in buildings, but they can't be around every single corner. So people have to want to do it. And just finally, as a benchmark for all of you, Jen talked about, you know, they're at about 4,000 tons a year for the city of Fargo. NDSU's at about 100. And that doesn't include the initiatives that Residence Life has. But think about it. Can we do better? Absolutely. We're a small city here, and I think we can do better. And, you know, from an educational perspective, a lot of our student base is small town North Dakota, small town South Dakota, small town Minnesota. And those areas are getting additional opportunities for recycling, but they come here and this may be the first exposure that they have. So I think all of us, you know, from a staff, faculty standpoint, you know, we all have the obligation to try and educate people because this is something new to a lot of people that walk through the front gates of this institution.
I was going to add too, I think with the education piece is definitely the area that we continue to encourage our students when they come to us saying, we want more recycling. It's about how do we educate those around you to want to recycle? Because we can have all the recycling containers in the world, but if they're not going to physically go and make that change, then it's not going to help us. And so as you talk to students, encourage them to join, you know, in the residence halls, their hall government, to have those conversations about how they can recycle more, or the environmental club that continues to work on how do we educate students. Because that's where we're missing the mark at this point is, and I think faculty and staff, what is that mindset? Are you going to go to, you know, in here in the union now where they have the sorting easier for folks, it's a mental easier mindset, but at the same time, that's not in all of our buildings yet. And so we have to really think through what that piece looks like, as well as it's about motivating our students to want to do this work on their own. And so I think those conversations you're having with students, the more that we can continue to encourage them to want to do the work on their own, the more that I think it's going to make an impact with their peer-to-peer. And we've seen that in the work that we've done in Residence Life. We have signage up about recycling, even on our Residence Life Cinema movie network that we know students are watching. And so we have the ability to make little videos and all of those things, but all of that takes time and the right students to be a part of that. And so I think Mariah and her group has seen a great success in just having students show interest, even at the org fair last week. So the more that you hear students, send them our way so that we can continue to make that change across our campus.
Do you have a template somewhere, a printable PDF, something I can post on the bins so that people are less hesitant? I mean, I don't even know sometimes what I can put in them. So if there was a list of, like, you know, the top five things that people are usually carrying with them that they know they can put in there, I think that would be super helpful. If that test that you just got back with the staple in it, yeah, you can totally recycle that if you don't want it. That yogurt cup. Is there a list somewhere we can put on our bins?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can work a little bit with MnCODA on maybe some online resources. We post, you know, what our recycling results are on our webpage. So Mary did some posters for us, but we've used them right now more back of the house for our custodial staff to kind of know to answer questions in the building. I agree. I mean, there should be a resource, and we're getting there. Like Jen said, it takes a little bit of time simply because, you know, single stream for us is new at NDSU as well. So we're trying to leverage those resources where we can, and we'll continue to do so.
So I would say reach out to Pete, and he can get you those signs. Mary from MnCODA is not here today. She is out on some leave right now, but she would, if she was here, she would immediately say, yep, here you go, and they're right in front of us right now. And I think that's another piece of, if you're always looking for education on what MnCODA does, reach out to them, or maybe that's something that this committee can do is to organize a tour of MnCODA. It's very interesting. I just took a group of students several weeks back, and they were just blown away by some of the facts or some of the things that people recycle. And so sometimes that education can be way more important than what they can read on a piece of paper. If that's something that interests you, then share it with the committee. I'm sure they could easily
And Berry Hall, they have some really nice signs on their recycling bins. Do you know who made them?
I don't, but I can find out.
But they have, like, big yellow signs on their bins that say, this is what could go in here. And we also, on our website, right,
yeah,
the Sustainability Committee website, have a list of things that can all go in that single sort also. So you can check the website for that, too.
I've got a few things. Easy one is Memorial Union Catering. When I've been to events upstairs here, there isn't enough recycling for all the soda and water bottles that are given out these lunches. A lot of people just throw them in garbage. More difficult ones are, there's garbage all over the ground. You guys are doing great. I appreciate everything you're doing. All these tons that you're telling me is awesome. still all kinds of garbage on the grounds. I have called the sanitation department about volunteer groups that help clean up in the streets as I walk to and from campus. There's all kinds of garbage. I can't walk more than 100 feet without picking up something. And it would be nice if there were more volunteer groups that would do that around town. And some of the worst places are the student housing south of campus here, especially certain times of year, but people throw all kinds of stuff just on the ground. I would be willing to work with people or if our student groups can consider having volunteers where they go through a couple times a year and just pick up stuff, because we can't rely on the trucks to stop and pick up all the little loose stuff that's on the ground. Another thing is, now it's even more difficult economics. China stopped importing a lot of material, and there's municipalities around the country that are stopping their single stream recycling. I wonder if that's, if you've heard anything about it from Encoda or if there's other markets. Ideally, we would have domestic recyclers. We wouldn't be shipping our recycling overseas. We would locate factories that can recycle here in the United States. Is there anything, is anybody aware of anything like that?
I haven't heard that China really has made too much of an impact on what we're doing here in Fargo or the Midwest for that matter, I guess.
There's cities, and I can show you news stories about that happening in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
There's municipalities that are stopping doing single stream recycling.
I don't think that's something that we have to worry about here. Just barely got their program started, so I'm going to throw a huge fit if somebody tries to take it away. What we do at City Fargo is strictly collection, because we're not in the business of marketing recyclables, and that's why we have a contract with Mincota. We've partnered with them for about 23 years, and that's been a great relationship that we have with them. And you know, as far as I know, they're not sitting on all the plastic that we've been dropping off to them this calendar year or anything, so I mean, I can't totally speak on their behalf, but I think they're doing okay as of right now. But when Mary returns to work, she would definitely be able to give you more insight on that.
All right. So, and I just realized we're at our time. For those of you who have to leave at 12:30, thank you so much for coming.
I would like to put out a suggestion for your call for help with cleaning up. I would contact the Student Activities Office. They house the Volunteer Network. All registered student organizations are required to complete a certain number of community service projects each semester. That might be a group request to put out all of your help.
Great. Well, thank you all for coming, and enjoy the rest of your day.